Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Tiger fans, LSU is going to host a national championship celebration for the LSU baseball team tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Alec Box Stadium. We'll bring you a complete replay of the celebration featuring Coach Jay Johnson and the players right after our Pelicans draft special. That'll be tomorrow night, 9 p.m. here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Helping us break down that championship run right now, we're going to talk to Glenn West, senior writer at Go247.com. Glenn, how you doing, man? These Tigers definitely made this lull in summer a lot more interesting.
Yeah, it was a great run that they were able to cap off, going perfect in Omaha, and being able to watch that team go eight, bring number eight to that program is very special. So it was a good week for sure.
And having the head coach, we keep talking about how great Jay Johnson is. Just overall, the program lucky to be able to snag him. So shout out to Scott Woodward as well for bringing him in. But I mean, now two national titles in the last 3 years, just seems like the best is yet to even come for this Tiger squad. I know that might be crazy to say, but the way that Jay is building this program up, you got to imagine that people and these young players want to come to LSU to learn under him and the great pitching coach in Nate Yeske.
Yeah, no doubt. I sat across from Jay Johnson a couple of years ago after they'd won that 2023 national championship, and I kind of just asked him, what was his like end game goal for how he wanted this program to be remembered or this era to be remembered, and I threw the word dynasty at him, and he really kind of responded with, we want to, how close can we get to recreating 1988 LSU baseball, 88 to 2001 LSU baseball? How close can we get to 2007 to 2023 Alabama football? He's thinking in those terms. I mean, he's a guy that is very much all baseball all the time. I mean, he devotes his entire life around getting to Omaha and getting LSU to a place where they can win a national championship. And I think this team really embodied a lot of what he wants to build the future of the program on. They were a mentally tough team that had its flaws. They had their down moments, and yet they were able to kind of always never be out of it. They were always kind of a team that, even when they weren't playing their best, they were in the game, they had a chance to win it late. And they never seemed out of control in Omaha over these last 5 games. I think that's the thing that's really sticking with me as we get further and further away from this championship now. A couple days ago, there was maybe the eighth and ninth inning in that Arkansas game where you had kind of things were on the line a little bit, but they just every time that Arkansas threw a punch, LSU was right there to respond in the very next half inning. And this has been that's been kind of the theme of this team throughout the entirety of the year, and it's certainly, I think, how Jay Johnson wants to build future teams here in Baton Rouge.
And I wanted to ask you about that, Glenn. Just Jay Johnson's tireless recruiting. And we talk about it all the time, how he's able to build teams not just through the high school ranks, because he plays the high school players, and that's a really easy pitch to some of these top high school prospects that are going to college that you might be able to play right off the bat if you're the best player at your position, but also in the transfer portal and him always getting these key pieces that will help a team and bolster the Tigers for that upcoming season. I mean, I just think of right off the bat, Anthony Ianson, and how he kind of combined with Cade Anderson to create one of the best, if not the best 1-2 punch in college baseball. And he had mentioned like, we'll get to Omaha on the backs of those two guys. They won the College World Series on the backs of those two guys as well. So I want to get your thoughts on Jay as a recruiter, not just in the high school ranks, but also in the transfer portal, because very soon here, we're going to be talking about a lot of transfers coming to LSU. And Jay Johnson's going to try and snag the best ones.
Yeah, it's a tireless effort that he puts in. And honestly, I think there's no greater pitch for him, whether it's recruiting a pitcher or recruiting a freshman in high school. Like, just look at the product they put out the last 3 years. I mean, Anthony Ianson, You go back to the first year that he was, or the second year that he was there. They bring in Paul Skeens and Thatcher Hurd. Last year was Luke Holman and Gage Jump. They've been able to really swing and hit on a lot of these transfer portal pitchers over the last couple of years, and those guys have been really foundational pieces in LSU's success. And then you look at the freshman classes, guys like Derek Curiel. Kate Aaron Beatty had a really big time, several games this year where they really leaned on him in spots where they needed Luis Hernandez to get some rest. Kaysen Evans, William Schmidt was a big part of this thing early on in the season. Maverick Rizzi and Cooper Williams were really dialed in towards the end of the regular season and into the postseason in Williams' case. Like, they're not afraid to play freshmen. If they're ready early, that's another great recruiting pitch that they have. And look, they're only going to continue to get better from here. They have another great recruiting class coming in that, you know, is filled with guys that fill positions of need. And I think that they saw that and they've seen, like, these guys aren't necessarily going to be those top 10 to 20 picks, right? So if you're able to make a successful pitch to even a couple of these players that are in the top 50 to top 100 range, get a couple of more of those guys on campus to really fill out the roster in the draft, obviously hit the portal for another pitcher, maybe another outfielder, infielder, catcher. I mean, like, they have a couple holes that they need to fill for sure. But there's no greater pitch than what they've just done in Omaha with the variety of different players and the variety of different backgrounds that those players came from to really make this thing work.
You know, sticking with the pitchers, I know, looking at the MLB draft, it's pretty likely that Cade Anderson, Anthony Ianson will both be heading to the MLB. But, you know, what are some of the other guys like a Chase Shores, Jacob Myers, and so on? Where do this Tigers stand with some of the rest of these players?
Yeah, look, I think Chase Shores is another guy that you're going to hear pretty early in the draft. I would imagine second, third round for him.
Okay.
I think that there's going to be, Jared Jones, certainly Daniel Dickinson. I think those guys will hear their names heard called in the middle rounds. So you're going to potentially lose them. I think that there are a couple guys on both the pitching side and the position player side to really keep an eye out for in terms of just the draft specifically. I think from the pitching perspective, the one guy that I think I'm kind of really keeping an eye on here for LSU is Zach Cowan. I think he's a guy that if LSU can make a successful pitch to, they can maybe convince him to come back, and that would obviously be a huge piece to bring back into the fold for next year. He's such a steady pitcher and throws a ton of strikes. And you saw, even when a couple of his outings didn't go his way towards the end of the season, he was able to shrug them off and pick it up there and have the big five in the third outing against Arkansas. So I think Cowan would be huge if they could get him back. And then you look kind of in the outfield at a couple of different players, Chris Stanfield, Ethan Frye. These are a couple of guys that I think LSU is probably already having conversations with about what, they're looking for in the draft, what their, slot bonus is going to be. But if LSU is able to convince one of those two guys to come back too, obviously with what you got with Curiel and Jake Brown, that would be a massive, massive win, because you're essentially looking at your starting outfield not really changing if you can convince one of those two players to come back. So definitely a few players that are maybe a little bit on the fence right now with the draft, and just got to wait and see how it all shakes out here in the next couple weeks.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, as you kind of mentioned, Glenn, there's going to be multiple pieces moving on to the draft. And, even like a Josh Pearson, who's going to be done with the program after being a senior. I saw from Kendall Rogers, D1 Baseball, that he's expecting a very active weekend in Baton Rouge as far as the transfer portal, which is now going to be LSU's priority, and seeing what kind of players they can get from the portal. I just want to get your thoughts, because it just feels like, as you mentioned earlier, with Jay Johnson trying to create this second, quote unquote, like golden era of LSU baseball, the portal is going to be a key piece every single season, and LSU is going to be targeting all these top guys.
Sure. Yeah, I think that they're definitely going to be active, and you can certainly see some action here over the next couple days now that they're back and that the season's over and all that stuff. But I also think that there is a good core of foundational players that are going to be back on this team. And so I think from LSU's position here, they can be a little bit more selective about the kind of guys that they want to target in the portal. And for me, that, you know, it would probably start with some left-handed pitching. I think you probably need to bring some left-handers in here to kind of really balance out the pitching staff for next year. Certainly the infield, they've already gotten off to a good start with the infield. They brought in two players out of the portal already, a couple of power hitters that I think could be able to help fill a couple of those positions in the infield. But I think they probably would still like to add another, you know, infielder or two out of the portal. Certainly a catcher, you know, Luis Hernandez moving on. Kate Aaron Beattie figures to slide into that starting role next year, but do they want to bring in somebody else that has some veteran experience to, you know, maybe spell him or compete with him for that job? So there's going to be some action here. I think that they have, you know, they've been talking to guys even in Omaha. You know, they have to slot out a couple hours during their preparation for those games just to get guys on the phone. And I think that you'll see that really ramp up here now that they're back and now that they can have a couple guys come visit campus here over the next few days and weeks and potentially build up another contending kind of roster.
Glenn, you have any idea what the Tigers have in store for this celebration in Alec Box Stadium tomorrow? I know we're going to hear from Coach Jay Johnson, the players and whatnot. Also, I got to imagine they've been busy on that Intimidator board getting the 2025 year up there in place. And I'm just curious if you know any of the other, you know, things that might be going on tomorrow night.
Yeah, it'll be a great night. I mean, obviously a big-time celebration night for this team. You'll probably hear from a number of the stars of this program. You know, I'm just hearkening back to what I remember from a couple of years ago when they did this in 2023. You had a number of their veteran you know, leaders really step up and talk a lot about the team and about the season. So I imagine you'd hear from Jared Jones. You'll hear from Chase Shores. You'll hear from Anthony Ianson, Kate Anderson, all those guys. We'll probably go up there and say a few words to the crowd that shows up, and we'll see. I mean, I've seen that they've already in their team room, they've already added the 2025 championship number to their growing number 8. So we'll see if the Intimidator is ready and is able to add another number for tomorrow night, but should be a really fun one just to kind of really round out this season and what is going to be go down as another legendary, unforgettable team.
Glenn, always appreciate the time from you. Thanks so much for taking some time away from your busy action. I know you're keeping up with LSU football recruiting as well.
Yeah, it's hectic for sure. We just wrapped up official visit season for the football program, and now you're going to probably get into a several-week span here where could see some action from a recruiting class perspective in terms of 2026 edition. So we've got it all over at Go247, and we're keeping up with it.
Glenn West, senior writer at Go247.com. You can check out his work there. Always appreciate the time. Great information, and have a good one, man. Thank you. Thanks a ton.
Yep, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Glenn.
Man, oh man, the LSU Tigers, 8-8 feels great, and I know they're going to be coming up with something about rhyming with number 9 being fine or something like that for next season.
Yeah, I mean, keep it rolling. 2 championships in 3 years. Steve,
spoiled.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and I might have to do a little bit of a deep dive on this, but as far as current national championship winning head coaches in college baseball, the only coaches that have won multiple national championships that are currently active, I think it's Jay Johnson and Tim Corbin. I think that's it for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, outside of that sounds about right to me, but I'd have to double check for sure.
Other coaches like Pat Casey at Oregon State is retired. You know, the old Texas coach that passed away a few years back. I'll have to double check, but I think that's correct. I think that there's only 2 active head coaches in college baseball that have won multiple national championships.
You got to imagine Jay Johnson is going to be in line for a pretty nice raise.
Oh, well deserved. He's the best coach in college baseball.
Definitely, I think maybe right now, Charlie, my favorite coach in all of sports.
He's the best, isn't he? Like, and you know, he comes on the show. He gives us great information every time we ask him. Really, really nice guy. But he's also fantastic at what he does. So he deserves all the praise that he's getting from every different outlet that's giving it to him.
Also, really dig, I don't know if you heard in the moderator in the post-game press conference at the College World Series Finals, and he's like, one more question, and he's like, you know what? We can go all night. We just won the College World Series. I'll answer whatever questions they got.
He's great with the media. I mean, he doesn't ever kind of, well, except for starting pitching decisions in the postseason, he kind of keeps that close
to
the vest.
That's Jay's thing.
It is, but it works out. So, you know, we can't really question it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.